All right, so we are holding on Yud Ches Amud Bey is about the middle, a little bit above the middle of the middle side line between the Vienna supporting. Okay. We're discussing the question, when would we say that a person has to bring many Ashamas Tloyim, where we're talking about multiple instances of the same Aveir? And related to that, when would a person have to bring a Chatos for multiple instances of the same Aveir? So we said that if each time all he knew was that there was a suffix, then we said that Rebbe had said that he'd bring one individual Ashem Tzoli for each one because the Yedia suffix are dividing things up. And in fact, what Zera says, not only it divides things up as far as Ashem Tzoli, but even as far as Chatos. So even if between one time with Chalev on the table and the next, all he found out was there was a suffix over here, there was Chalev here, and I may have eaten it, and only at the end does he find out that yes, all of them were Chalev. Reb Zera would say that Rebbe's opinion is that he'd have to bring an individual Chatos for each one. Reb Yehuda and Reb Elazar and Reb Shimon say no, you only bring one Ashem Tzoli.
Their opinion is of
Reb Yehuda and Reb Yehuda and Reb Elazar and Reb Shimon. They say that you would only bring one Ashem Tzoli in that case, that the fact that there was the Yedia suffix in between wouldn't matter. And we mentioned also Rava has a different understanding that the Yedia suffix are not dividing things up. You need a definite idea that they actually did eat chalev in order to bring a separate chatas. When it comes to an Ashem Tzoli,
the difference is
Yedias Vadai is that he knew he ate chalev. Yedias Suffolk is he knew that there was chalev over here and he may have eaten it.
He's
not sure that he ate it. Yedias Vadai is he knows for a fact that what he ate was chalev. Yeah. So Rava had argued that when there's a difference between chatas and Ashem Tzoli in that regard. For chatas, you need a Yedias Vadai to break off the Halem and start a new period of Halem. To finish off the old one. When it comes to Ashem Tzoli, all you need is Yedias Suffolk. And Abaye says in both cases, all you need is Yedias Suffolk. So we were discussing...
Even the case of a
Chatos, right. Yedias Suffolk is enough. So Rava is more maple then, because it means that if you have a Yedias Suffolk between one and the next, Rava is going to make him bring only one Chatos. As opposed to Rabbi is going to say he would have to bring many chatzos.
Even a suffix, he has to.
No, well, in other words, if he has a suffix each time, then that we're saying that means he's going to be bringing a separate Ashem Tzoli for each one. If in the end, before he brought any of those Ashamas Tzoliyin, he found out that in fact what he ate each time was Chalev, then according to Rava, even though he would have had to bring many Ashamas Tzoliyin had he not had that Yedias Vadai at the end, but because he had the Yedias Suffolk in between, he's bringing an Ashem Tzoli for each one. But to bring multiple Chatois, Yedias Suffolk is not enough. There would have to be Yedias Vadai between one and the next. Whereas according to Rabbi, Yedias Suffolk between one and the next is enough not only to bring an Ashem Tzoli, but also to bring a Chatois.
So he's
machmir on everything. I don't know what you mean make a one. What does Rabbi and make a one? They both agree that for Ashem Tzoli, Yedias Suffolk divides one from the other. There's no Kola and Chomer in there. Rava and Abaya both agree that Yedias Suffolk divides things as far as Ashem Tzoli. So if he had two pieces of in front of him, and he ate one of them, and we don't know whether it was, and later on he found out there was Chalev over here, and he may have eaten it, and the same thing happened again, and the same thing happened again, definitely there's no question he brings a bunch of Ashamas Tzoli in for that. The Machlokas would be, if at the end he found out that all of them, in fact, were Chalev, is he bringing a bunch of chatois or not? Rava would say no. Abaya would say yes.
So Abaya is not.
That's what I said. Abaya is machmir. But you're not talking about machmir in one and make all in the other. He's machmir in that one case, and that's it.
Right. Whereas Rava is.
Where's Rava? Yeah. Okay. So we said we mentioned in that connection in the continuation of the discussion, we mentioned the point that Yom Kippur acts sort of like an Ashem Tzoli, because we said if a person was chayv an Ashem Tzoli before Yom Kippur, then he doesn't have to bring it afterwards. So mostly that concept is agreed to. But we said about Bayad said though that you could say though maybe Yom Kippur is only mechaper if he knew about that there was something wrong, not if he didn't know. But then we said no because there are Mishnah that there's a Mishnah that says that yes. Fine. Mostly Rabbi Idi Barovin. Rabbi Idi Barovin has contradictions. a braisa say, not, well, that, he has a contradiction to the last point that we made. The last point that we made is that Abaya had argued that maybe you can't say that that every moment of Yom Kippur is Mechaper. Maybe you need the entire 24-hour, 25-hour period of Yom Kippur to be Mechaper. And we said that no, there's a clear mission, there's a clear Mishnah or a clear Braisa that says otherwise, that says that even if he had a Suffolk Aveda right, it's actually later on in Amasesta, in the last paragraph, that even if he did a Suffolk Aveda right before the end of Yom Kippur, then he's possible from the Ashen Tolik, because Kol HaYom Mechaper. So, Mosiv Rabbi Yibarovin, so Rabbi Yibarovin says I have a contradiction on that point. We learn in a braisa, also b'shos of a helam. If somebody ate and drank on Yom Kippur all in one helam, so all he has to bring is one chatas, because eating and drinking combine together. They're not considered, they don't combine together as far as the shear, but they combine together that they're considered similar enough that that it's only one chatas. So the question is, inevitably, between when he ate and when he drank, there must have been at least some time during the day, because he could have found out. If you're telling me that every moment of Yom Kippur, where he's able to find out that he did Aveira, is able to be Mechaper, so between eating and drinking, inevitably there could be some amount of time, where he could have found out that he wasn't supposed to have eaten, and then Yom Kippur would be Mechaper, because as we said, because Yom Kippur, we said, stands in the place of an Oshem Tolle, and makes it that he doesn't have to bring an Oshem Tolle. The problem with that is, but you're saying he's only Chayav one Chatas. The Isak Now, if you Abaya are telling us Yedias Sofik Machalkes Lachatois, that just having Yedias Sofik, which was saying Yom Kippur, is effectively like Yedias Sofik, is enough to divide.
Because like an
Ashen Tolik, if that's enough Machalkes Lachatois, divide things as far as a Chatos to make it that each one is a separate Helam Lachayv Shtei Chatois, then he should be Chayv two Chatois, one for the eating and one for the drinking. It's true that Shtiya Bechlal Achila, but there had to have been some amount of time between the Achila and the Shtiya. And therefore, so it should have been after he ate, then he was in the scapular, by the moment of Yom Kippur that passed, then he drank, and that would be considered a separate helam, and therefore a separate chatas. Why would it be only one? The answer is Amri. The answer is, they said like this, Chi Omer Abzeira L'Revi. This that we said earlier in the sugya, that Reb Zera was saying, which started off the whole discussion, that we said that Yedias Sofik, that Yedias Sofik Machalkas, that was only according to Rebbe. Ha Rabbanan. This braisa that we just quoted could be according to the Rabbanan. The Rabbanan don't have to agree that Yedias Sofik are Mechalik, so they can say, okay, in that case, then the moment of Yom Kippur, that passed, wasn't Mechaper anything. Or maybe it was, but fine, it could be Mechaper, but not to the extent of, but still, all you have is Yedias Sofik, and that's not enough to divide things as far as Chatos. Okay.
So what they say,
they would say you need Yedias Vada. But you don't have a Yedias Vada. Okay, so the question is, Bahamid is safer, Rebbe. How could you say that? The end of that braisa is obviously according to Rebbe, to Katani, because the braisa continues. Shosat Sir or Murias. If the person drank on Yom Kippur, Sir or Murias, which are various kinds of fish juices, which we learned about before, Sir comes from the fish. Sir is just what exudes from the fish itself. Murias is after it's been pickled and brine or whatever. Anyway, if a person drinks that, potter, then he's potter, because those are not normal things to drink. And keep in mind, remember, the whole Isser of eating and drinking on Yom Kippur is to anuas nafshei seichen. You have to afflict your souls. So that means, that implies that you can't eat. That you can't eat something that normally would be eaten. Sir or Murias by themselves are not normally eaten. A person would use them as a dip or something, but they don't eat them by themselves.
So that is how you can eat some of this, not normally?
No, we're not saying that you could. You're not allowed to. If a person does eat one of these things, they can still give him makas maudus. But we're talking about he's not going to be chayiv koris. And if it was b'shogeg, he's not going to be bringing a chatas. So sir or Murias. Ha chometz chayev. But the implication is, by mentioning sir or murias, on the other hand, that seems to imply that if he had drunk vinegar, then he would be chayev. Because otherwise, it should have mentioned that also. Umani revihi. Now, who would that be according to? That can only be according to Revi. Titania chometz ein meshev es hanefesh. The Braisa says that vinegar does not restore the soul, and therefore, when a person drinks vinegar, and we're talking about undiluted vinegar. If a person dilutes it, so it's drinkable, then that's a different. But if we're talking about actual plain vinegar, an ein meshev es hanefesh, so therefore he wouldn't be chayev for kores or chatos for drinking that. Maybe, okay. Rebbe Omer, Omer Ani, Rebbe says, no, I say Chomets Meshav Asa Nefesh, where that vinegar does restore the soul, and therefore it's a violation. Okay, maybe, I don't know. But how can he say that? Because he says that it does, that it has, still has a good effect on the person. So therefore, so, okay.
Means
that it restores the soul. It means it makes the person feel a little better. They don't feel the effects of the fast as badly. Okay. So therefore, Umid is safer, Rebbe. And therefore, Rebbe would say, Chayv Kares, Umid is safer, Rebbe. Well, then it's the safer of the Braise as according to Rebbe. Reisha Dami Rebbe. Then the Reisha presumably is also. Well, in that case then, well, usually we would assume that. Amri, so the answer, not necessarily. Safer, Rebbe, Reisha Rabbanon. Not necessarily. You could have that the first part of the Braise as according to Rabbanon, the second part is according to Rebbe. At any rate, we don't necessarily have a contradiction to Abaya from this Braise. Okay. Eisvei Rava. Rava says to Abaya, I have a contradiction to you. Again, let's remember that Abaya's position is that Yedias Sofet Mechalkas Lahatois, that even if only he knew afterwards between one time and the next that there was a Sofet over here. He doesn't know for sure that he ate Chalev, but he knows that there was a piece of Chalev on the table each time and he may have eaten it. Then Abaya says that's enough to make it that he has to bring a separate Chatas for each one if at the end he finds out that all the ones he ate were Chalev.
Not Rava.
Rava disagrees, right? So Rava says to Abaya, I have a contradiction on you. Ochal hayim, ochal amachar, when it comes to me'ilah, if a person eats from hekdesh, a half a prutah's worth today, and a half a prutah's worth tomorrow, or nena hayim nena lamachar, or he had another half a prutah today, and half a prutah tomorrow, or ochal hayim nena lamachar, or he ate half a prutah today, and had hanah from a half a prutah, meaning not food, not hanah, but some other kind of hanah, tomorrow, the next day, or nena hayim ochal amachar, v'afilu mikan v'ad shalish shanim, or even if we're talking about it's not just the next day. Even if he did the first half pruta and the second half pruta 3 years later, and it was all behelam echol, and then it was all behelam echol. Minayin shem stifrim zayim zeh. How do we know that they combined together? And therefore, he's going to have to bring a korban mila. The pasuk says tim nefesh tim el mal. If a person commits a trespass, does meila, does meila riba? That's a riba. So the question is, again, if you're talking 3 years later, that means there were three Yom Kippurs in between. V'amai. Now, according to you, Abaya, why would it combine together as far as Me'ilah? Ha'kippur alei Yom Kippurim. Wasn't Yom Kippur Mechaper in between? So how are the two half Kruthas combining? The answer is, Ki Amri, then Amri. Because, the answer is Amri. They answered like this. Ki Mechaper Yom Kippurim al Isura. You know when Yom Kippur is Mechaper, when we're talking about a matter of Isur, whether he has to bring an Oshem Toler or not, for example, Al-Mamoyna Loi Mechaper, you could say Yom Kippur is not Mechaper where there's a monetary where there's a monetary obligation over here. And over here with Me'ilah, it's a monetary thing. I mean, he has to bring a carbon, fine, but he also has to pay back Hekdesh. The whole thing is basically that he committed Gezel or a form of Gezel against Hekdesh, and that Yom Kippur is not going to be Mechaper for. So therefore, even... Well, it is an Isser, but it's an Isser of a special type. It's an Isser moment. It's not an Isser of that he ate something he wasn't supposed to eat. Fundamentally, I mean, it's true. He may have been over on Me'ilah by eating, but fundamentally, the Isser is not a matter of eating. It's a matter of misusing something of Hekdesh, and therefore, moment. The Iboisema, or another possibility, Ki Mechaper, you have to put him out Kulei Shura. Another answer you could say is maybe Yom Kippur is only Mechaper when he did a complete Shira of something. Then you would say that that's Mechaper for that, and therefore he's not bringing his Oshem Tolei afterwards. And maybe even you could say, therefore, that if he did, maybe even you could argue conceivably that according to that, if he did a complete Me'ilah of a complete Pruta, he wouldn't have to bring the Korban after Yom Kippur, maybe. But here was only half. But here, I'll power the shiur or let Mechaper. But it can't be Mechaper for only half a shiur. Now, why indeed not? After all, it is also to do half a shiur as well. The Mishnah Melech, for example, asks about this. He says, where should we compare it?
There's a shiur of
Me'ilah. Yeah, there's a shiur, Prutzer. We're going to talk about it in the second Me'ilah, that's a shame. But, so the Magid Mishnah, or the Mishnah Melech, I don't remember actually which one, asks and has a discussion about this. He says, I mean, so what are we going to say? Is it like the case, let's say, where a person touched a half a kezias of a mess. So he's not tummy yet. If he were to go to the mikvah, nothing happens. Okay, but you could argue there he's not tummy at all yet. The fact is, he was already over on something. With a half a prutah, because after all, he was still some of Chatzis Shiur, still awesome in Atar. So there's
it's also,
you know, he's not high of a carb, but still it's ulcer. So there's a couple of answers. One of them being, I think Rohanan Wasserman, it is, says in Kovitz Shurim, that the idea is, yeah, you could say Yom Kippur was machaper for the Avera that he did, that he ate the half kazayas or did whatever, in which he was over on what Hashem said. But after all, when later on he eats or has hano or whatever from the other half of his ice, it's girder, it drags along the other one and makes it combine together, and therefore you have a complete shear. Okay. Fine. All right. So far that's it then. So again, we have Reb Zera saying that Yedias Sofik Machalkas L'Chatois. Rava saying that not an Abaya, basically agreeing with Reb Zera and questioning Rava, and they went back and forth. Okay. So V'chein Omer Rishlokish. Rishlokish also said the same thing. Kan Shona Rebbe, a connection with our Mishnah. Rebbe taught the concept. Yediyah Sofik Machalkas V'Chatois, that even a Yediyah Sofik is enough to divide. There's one Chiyuv Chatos from the next one, one Kizayis of Chayla from the next one. Rav Yechon and Omer, which would be like Rav Zera, like Abaya. Rav Yechon and Omer, any idea, Sofik Machalkas V'Chatois. Rav Yechon and says not like Rava. Elo Hochi Katani. Rather, what it means is like this: Kishem Shem Hoisel Yediyah Vaday. Just as had it been that he had a Yediyah Vaday between one and the next, maybe our Kolachas V'Achas, then definitely he'd be bringing a separate Chatos for each one. Everybody would agree to that. Kachim Hoisel Yediyah Sofik. The same way, the parallel is just that if there's a Yediyah Sofik in between, maybe Oshem Toli our Kolachas V'Achas, then he's bringing an Oshem Toli for each one. So the comparison is not the type of Yediyah. The comparison is just that there can be a division as far as Oshem Toli and as far as Chatos of a certain kind of Yediyah. But what kind of Yediyah it is going to depend, Vaday or Sofik, depending what type of Korban we're talking about. Okay. So the Gemara says, Bishleimel Rav Yechanan, Heinek Katoli La'osham B'chatos. Okay, well then according to Rav Yechanan's explanation, we can understand, let's look at the Braisa again. It said that, we're saying that just like when it comes to Yediyah Vaday, he brings a separate chatas for each one. The same way, if there's Yediyah Sofik, he brings an Oshem Toli for each one. So that's Rav Yechanan's understanding. But the point is, according to Rav Yechanan, the wording works out very well. Heinek Katoli La'osham B'chatos. That means, in other words, we have an obvious fact we know as far as the chatas that Yediyah Vaday is mechalek. So we're mentioning, you should know, an Osham is similar in that there's also a possible division as far as Oshama is, albeit it's a different type of Yediyah. Elul or Rishlokish, but according to Rishlokish, that the point is that the same kind of Yediyah is dividing as far as both. Then the bigger chiddush is the chatas, that not only an Oshem Toli, where an Oshem Toli, the whole thing comes because of a suffix. When you have an Oshem, the whole thing comes on a Sofik, so it makes sense. The idea of Sofik would divide. But even by a Chathas, where Chathas is supposed to come for a Vaday, nevertheless, the idea of Sofik is enough. So therefore, Chathas ba'Oshem, Yibarilei. It should be the other way around. It should be saying, just like the idea of Sofik divides things as far as an Oshem, so also the idea of Sofik divides as far as Chathas. Because the bigger chiddush is the chatos. You have to learn the chatos from Asham.
Rabbi Yochanan
is saying that the comparison is not about the type of yediyah. The comparison is just the whole concept that there can be a yediyah that triggers a chiyuv for a separate carbon. Rabbi Yochanan would say that. What the rule is, in other words, it's possible for a person to eat multiple kazeis of chaylev and michayev and multiple chatois. It's also possible for a person to have a suffix of having eaten multiple kazeisim and michayev multiple ashamis tloyim. That's as far as the comparison goes. Although the comparison is, in both cases, how does he become chayev in multiple ones because of the idea between one and the next. But not that
he doesn't address the question of whether it's an Asham or a Chatos.
No. He's saying that Rabbi Yochanan would be saying that the Braisa is telling us that by both Chatos and Asham, you have a similar kind of thing where there can be multiple Chatos or multiple Ashamis. Mm-hmm. In both cases, that's because they would be divided by Yediyah, but that's as far as the comparison goes. With a Chatos, it has to be Yediyah Vaday. With an Asham, it can be Yediyah Sofik. But according to Rish Lakish, if the point is by both of them, Yediyah Sofik is enough, then we know that's an obvious fact by an Asham, that Yediyah Sofik is enough, because an Asham, the whole thing comes because of a Sofik. So it should say, just like by an Asham, a Yediyah Sofik is enough, so also by a Chathas, a Yediyah Sofik is enough. Okay,
the regular way is to be an Asham, is to be by Sofik.
Is to be by Sofik, right. This said it would apply to Chathas also. Exactly. Right. Okay. Okay, so he wants his kasha. Okay, you're right. It's a kasha on your shlok. It's a kasha. It's not a tzul shlok. And in fact, by the way, I mean there's a question anyway. I think the Orach HaNer brings up the question, although I don't remember what he answers. Why didn't we ask that before on Reb Zeva? Actually, I think he says the reason is because before we mentioned Reb Zeva's opinion, we didn't mention this question about why is Chatos and Asham reversed in the Braisa. Okay,
it was reversed by Reb Zeva.
Well, no, it wasn't reversed, but we're saying why doesn't it say just like by Asham, so by Chatos, which should be according to Reb Shlokish and also according to Reb Zeva. Okay, fine, so Chasha. Okay, so the Gemara says, "V'romi de Rav Yechanan ad Rav Yechanan, v'romi de Rav Shlokish ad Rav Shlokish." Now we seem to have a contradiction between two statements of Rav Yechanan and between two statements of Rav Shlokish. Namely, the Tanya, we learn in a braisa like this: Shnei Shvilim. If there are two paths, Echad Tomei ve'Echad Tahor. One is Tomei, one is Tahor. For example, one of those paths has a dead body buried underneath it, and we don't remember which path it was. So, the halach tradition, suppose a person walked on the first path. After walking on the first path, he suffered tummy, but he did not yet go into the bismikdash. Vasheni v'nichnas, then he walked on the second path, and then he went into the bismikdash. Chayev, then he's going to be chayev. A korban olav yored, however you look at it, because no matter what, he was tummy when he went into the bismikdash, either from the first path or the second. On the other hand, halach tradition v'nichnas, but if he went only on the first path, and then he went into the bismikdash, Potter, so far he's Potter, because we don't know whether he's Tomei or Tahor. But Shein even Nichnas, then if he goes into the second one, he's Chayev, okay. Holach Berishin Menichnas. Now, what about another case? Suppose that he went on the first path, then he went into the Bismikdash. Again, remember, it was a Sophic whether he was Tomei. The he's of the Shon of Tavol. Then, though, because after all there was a Sophic whether he's Tomei, he had paradrumal water sprinkled on him the first time, the second time, and he toveled, so he's completely Tor. The Holach Vasheni, then he went on the second path, the Nichnas, and then he went into the Bismikdash. And the key point is, Rashi says, what we mean is, when he went on the second path, he forgot that he had previously been Tomei, or possibly Tomei, when he went into the Bismikdash. So what happens? Chayev. So we're saying he's chayev a carbon. Reb Shimon poter bezu. Reb Shimon says he's poter in that case because each tumma stands by itself. It's one thing in the earlier case when he went on one and then went on the other. We have to kind of tahor in between. Obviously he was tummy. But here he was tummy after the first one. He was tahor, I mean, later on after the first one. So there's no yediyah. The point is, we learned in Shavuos, and we're going to mention over here in Al Gemara as well, Tumas Mikdash V'Kodshah is a special case. You need to have Yediyah B'Tchilah. In order for a person to be Chayiv in a Korban Olah V'Yored, he has to have Yediyah B'Tchilah, Yediyah B'Soif V'Helam Mentayim. The Gemara in Shavuos learns it from Sukkim. You need to have that at the beginning he knew that he was for sure that he was Tomei, he knew for sure that this is a Bismikdash. Later on he forgot, and therefore he went into this Bismikdash or ate Kodshim while he was Tomei. Later on he remembered. Later on he knew that he was Tomei or went into after he left necessarily. Pashas could be when he's there also, but whatever. The point is, there has to be that Yediyah B'Tchilah. So Reb Shimon would say, here you don't have a Yediyah B'Tchilah because there's no definite Yediyah at the beginning, because the first time he went in, maybe he was Tomei, maybe he wasn't, and the second time also, maybe he was Tomei, maybe he wasn't. Reb Shimon ben Yehuda, Reb Shimon ben Yehuda, Pocha Kulon Mishum Reb Shimon. Reb Shimon ben Yehuda says in the name of Reb Shimon, Reb Shimon ben Yehuda is not the son of Reb Shimon ben Yehuda. No, he's a Talmud of his. He says, Reb Shimon ben Yehuda poter b'kulon mishum Reb Shimon. He says in the name of Reb Shimon that he's poter in all of those cases. I don't mean all those cases. I feel like a maitha. Here, we're digressing a second just to explain that, but then we're going to get back to Reb Shlokish and Reb Yechanan and see where the contradiction is. So what do you mean? Reb Shimon would say he's poter even in the first case, in the first two cases. What do you mean? There you have Yediyah Vadois. There's no question. If he went on the first path and then the second one and then went into the mishnah, sure. There's no question that. The answer is Omar Rava. So Rava says, no, what we mean is like this. Because Shaholach Berishin, he went on the first path, over Shas Hiluchai Vasheni, Shachach Shaholach Berishin. Now when he walked on the second path, he had forgotten that previously he had walked on the first path. So even though there is a Tum of Adois over here, but there's not a full Yediyah. There's not a full Yediyah B'Tchilah. He doesn't necessarily know at the beginning. Well, there's a partial idea because he knows he may be Tommy, but he doesn't know for sure that he's Tommy. So therefore, the machlokas tanoim is as follows. Tanakama stavim mikpas yediyah ki yediyah gam. The Tanakama says as long as he knows even a partial yediyah, that's enough for it to be the yediyah b'tchila. Therefore, this that he knows that he went on the second path and might be tomei from it, that is enough to be considered a yediyah at the beginning. And therefore, when he finds out at the end that in fact he had walked on both paths before going into this mikdash, and therefore he was vadei tomei, that's enough to make him bring a korban, says the Tanakama. Whereas Reb Shimon, in the Braisa, by the way, we had Reb Shimon Poter Bezu, that Reb Shimon said he's Poter in the last case, and Reb Shimon Yehuda had said that he's Poter in all of them. So Reb Shimon says, Mixas Yediyah, Lab Yediyah Damia. Reb Shimon says, a Mixas Yediyah, a partial Yediyah, is not enough. That therefore he's Poter. So actually, then Rashi goes on to explain then that within that you have the two opinions within what Reb Shimon says. You have Reb Shimon Poter Bezu, and Reb Shimon Yehuda says that he's Poter Bekulon, the Machlo, and we said, what do you mean, Poter Bekulon? What about the first case? Well, he was definitely Tomei. The Machloikas therefore is that the first version of Reb Shimon would say that as long as he was definitely Tomei, which after walking on the second path he definitely was, we don't care that he didn't know that he walked on the first path. That's still enough to be a mixed idea. And Rav Shimon Yehuda would say that he still needs to know that Rav Shimon Yehuda would say, even in that case, the fact is he didn't know for sure that he was Tomei because he forgot that he had walked on the first path first. So therefore, that's the Braisa. And now that we understood what the Braisa is talking about and why it is that Reb Shimon would pater him in all the cases, now let's get back to Reb Yochanan and Reish Lakish. So the question is, am I chayev? So we have to first say, okay, according to the Chachamim, why would he be chayev? So we said in the Braisa, Holach Barishin, if he went on the first path, V'nichnas V'hizav Tovol, and then he went into Mismekesh, V'hizav Shana, okay, and then he sprinkled Paradrim of water twice, V'tovol, and then he tovled, V'holach Basheni, then we said if he goes on the second path, V'nichnas, and then he goes into Mismekesh, we said he's Chayim.
If he didn't forget?
No, so one second. So here we're talking about that it doesn't. So on the face of it, we're not talking about forgetting over here. We're talking about that. One second. So we're saying that in this case, he actually became Tahor between them. We are talking about where he forgot. We still are talking about where he forgot. But now we have the additional wrinkle that he was actually Tahor after the first one. So the question is, am I chayev? So why is he chayev after walking on the second path?
It's not the end of the day yet.
Okay, so we had Harav Shemesh as well. That's what we mean. In other words, you know, he went through the full cycle of becoming Tahor after the possible Tumah from the. Yeah, so the next day he goes and walks or at some later time he goes and walks on the second path. Then he goes into this mitzvah. Okay, so the question is, am I chayev? Why is he chayev? All I have is a yediyah. He didn't have the yediyah of Achila because maybe he was Tomei, maybe he's not when he went into this mitzvah the second time. The answer is, he didn't have any, all he has is Yediyah Safik. Amar Reish Lakish Hamani Rabbi Shmuel. So Reish Lakish does not say that Yediyah Safik is enough. He says this Braisa must be according to Rabbi Shmuel. D'loy bo Yediyah Batchila. Rabbi Shmuel disagrees with the whole concept that you need Yediyah Batchila and Yediyah Batsoif and Hela Midtime. He, in Masech HaShavuos, says you don't need the Yediyah Batchila. You just need one Yediyah. So according to him, you don't need Yediyah Batchila. Therefore, according to him, you'd be Chayim. There's no Yediyah at the beginning. Big deal. Rabbi Shmuel doesn't care about that.
There is a
Yediyah
at the end?
There's a Yediyah at the end. There has to be a Yediyah at the end. Otherwise, how does the person know to bring a card?
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Rabbi Yochanan Oma, Afilu Tamei Rabbanan. Rabbi Yochanan says you could even say the Braita goes according to the Chachamim because can also Safik Yediyah ki Yediyah. Because over here, the Chachamim have told us that Safik Yediyah is the equivalent of Yediyah for sure. And therefore, even though there was only a Suffolk Yediyah, maybe he was Tomei, maybe he wasn't, that's considered enough to be a Yediyah. That therefore, later on, if he finds out that in fact that second path was the Tomei one, then he's going to be Chayav Karban.
So does that mean Rabbi Yochanan says now that the Yediyah is a Yediyah?
That's what we have to figure out. Saka Daitach, now we think. We think for purposes of the question, one second, can also, when Rabbi Yochanan says here that here they made, here the Chachamim established for us that Safek Yediyah is Kiyediyah. It sounds like he means V'hu Adin L'chola Terakola. It sounds like he means not just in this case, it means that once the principle is established, that applies everywhere in the Torah. Well, therefore, Kasha Dir Rav Yechon and Ad Dir Rav Yechon and Kasha Dir Shlokesh Ad Dir Shlokesh. Well, therefore, now we have a contradiction. Before Rav Yechon had said that Yediyah Sopik is not enough to be Machalik HaTorah, you need Yediyah Vadeh. Here he's saying Yediyah Sopik is like Yediyah Vadeh. And Rish Lakish is the other way around. Before he said Yediyah Sopik is enough, here he doesn't want to say that, he has to say that. But right? He says it comes to Rabbi Shmuel in order to make it work. So we have a contradiction. No. So the answer, no, because we're talking with the opinions of Rabbi Yechon and Rish Lakish, respectively. Hello. So, Rabbi Yochanan, there's no contradiction because you're assuming that when he said can also means that he's saying there's a precedent established from here to Kola Torah Kola. He doesn't have to mean that. Can also, he could say in this particular case of Tumas Mikdash Rekonshav, we say that Yediyah Sofik is enough, Avvachol HaTorah Kol Eloi, but not in the rest of the Torah. So therefore, yeah, when it comes to Tumas Mikdash Rekonshav, it's enough, but everywhere else you always need Yediyah Vadei type of thing. Right. My timer, and what would be the reason to make that exception? The reason would be Hacha Gabi Tumas Ksiv Nelami Menu Vohutami. Because by Tumas Mikdash Rekonshav, the expression in the Pasuk is that it was hidden from him, and he was Tomei, which implies Yediyah De'ispa Sofik. So therefore, Yediyah De'ispa Nami Sofik Chiyav Kra. So therefore, it means the Pasuk is being Mechai of him. Since the Pasuk uses the expression V'nelam Bohu Tomei, even though there's a little bit of a Helam still, he doesn't fully know for sure that he's Tomei, nevertheless, that's enough to be the Yediyah B'Chiv. Av B'chol HaTorah Kula, but Rabbi Yechon would say, in the rest of the Torah, it says, Oy Hoida Elof HaTosei, when his chet has been known to him, for sure, so only Isra Yediyah Hu D'Machayev, only he actually has a Yediyah, only is he Machayev, so therefore that would be Rabbi Yechon's reason to make an exception, to say that there's an exception by Tumas Mikdash Rekonshav that does not apply anywhere else in the Torah. By Tumas Mikdash Rekonshav, it says Benelam. So it's not the same as saying Oy Hoida Elov, which implies that there was actually Yediyah. Yeah. So that takes care of Rabbi Yechon. El or Rish Lakish Kasha, but if you enter Rish Lakish, isn't it a problem? Ad Yemoykim Lakir Rabbi Shmuel. Why does he have to say that this Braisa about the two paths is like Rabbi Shmuel? And Loik Makir Rabbi, why doesn't he instead say that it's like Rabbi? Because he himself said that Rebbe said that Rebbe taught us Yediyah Sofik Machalkas Machatois. In other words, the Yediyah Sofik is as good as the Yediyah Vadeh. So why can't he say the Braisa goes according to Rebbe? Okay. Instead of saying like Rabbi Shmuel. Yeah. Okay, the answer is Hokka Mashvalon. Okay, but Rabbi Shurish Lakish in that wants to tell us, by the way, did Rabbi Shmuel Nami Lai Bo Yediyah Batsila? He wants to tell us. You should know that you have this Rebbe's opinion that Sofik Yediyah is like Yediyah. You should know. I want to inform you that, by the way, Rabbi Shmuel does not require Yediyah B'Tchila, and therefore the Braisa could be according to him as well. He's not saying the Braisa has to be according to Rabbi Shmuel. We could understand that according to Rebbe too, but you should know it could work according to Rabbi Shmuel.
Does he share the opinion?
No, there's two different opinions. We're saying Rebbe is talking about Sofik Yediyah versus Vada Yediyah. But the fact remains, Rebbe would say you need some kind of Yediyah at the beginning in order to be high for Tumas Mikdash Rekonshav.
As opposed to
Rabbi Shmuel would say you don't. Okay, so the question is, why does Rish Lakish need to tell that? We have a Mishnah that says so explicitly. Ditznan, we learn in a Mishnah in Shavuos, Rabbi Shmuel Omer, v'nelam shnei p'amim. When it says twice in the Pesukim by Tumas Mikdash Rekonshav of the word V'nelam, it was hidden, that means L'chayim al-Helam Tuma v'al-Helam Mikdash. That means to be M'chayim him even if he didn't know that he was Tomei and he didn't know that this place is the Beis Mikdash, meaning there was no Yediyah B'Tchila. So we see clearly from the Pesuk that he doesn't require it. Yeah. The answer is still Yitzchak. Still, Rish Lakish has to tell it to us. Stop it at a Hamina, because otherwise you would think Mikra Lesley, maybe Rabbi Shmuel would say, fine, the psukim don't imply that you have to have Yediyah B'Tchila, but Migmara Islay, maybe Torah Shabbal Peh teaches us that you do. And in other words, maybe Rabbi Shmuel would agree with all the other Tanoim that you do need Yediyah B'Tchila. The argument would just be the rest of them can say we learn it from a Pasuk, and he would say that you don't. You have to learn it from Torah Shabbal Peh strictly. But Tamash Malan, therefore, Rish Lakish wants to tell us Rabbi Shmuel does not at all hold of the concept of Yediyah B'Tchila. He doesn't require it, not from the Pasuk, because he says the Pasuk actually implies that you don't, and not from anything in Torah Shabbat. Fine. So that's that. So that takes care of the contradiction between Rabbi Yochanan's two statements and between Rish Lakish's two statements. The halacha is that the halacha is that Yediyah Safek is not mechalak lachatayis. So like Rava, right? Like Rava and like Rabbi Yochanan, right? Because Rava and Abaye, the halacha is usually like Rava. Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish, the halacha is usually like Rish Lakish. So yeah. Mishnah says, okay, so now we've been talking about cases, we talked in the previous Mishnah about the case where a person has Isur and Heter in front of him, and he ate or had Hano or whatever from one of them, and he's not sure which one it was. Now let's talk about a case, so a related case. What about where both things were Osir, but they were different types of Isurim? Chalev v'noisa l'fonav, suppose that he had in front of him a piece of chalev and a piece of noiser, but ochal echad mehen, he ate one of them, thinking, as Rashi says, again, we're not talking about he thought that one of them is chalev or one of them is noiser, then he's not shregig. We're talking about he thought that they're both mutter, but so he ate one of them, the eniyadeh ezenehen ochal, so he doesn't know afterwards which one he ate, and the point being, in other words, that now, one is chalev, one is noiser. Now, if he knew that he ate chalev, he's for sure bringing a chatas. If he knew he ate noiser, he's for sure bringing a chatas for noiser. But now, where he doesn't know whether what he ate was chalev or noiser, does he bring a chatas or not? What do you mean, doesn't matter? That's the question in the mission. That's what we're
going to
do. That's what we're going to have to figure out. Hold on. Ishta nidav achoyte ima vavayis. Another scenario is his wife, who was a nidah, and his sister are with him in the house. Shogog ba'achas mehen. He was shogig and had relations with one of them. So again, either way, if he doesn't know, but any day, he doesn't know which one. So you have the same problem. Okay. Whatever he did, it was what?
I hope the sister wasn't married.
If she was, yeah, that's another matter. Well, then he had two Isurim, a sister and an Eish HaFish, but whatever, that's neither of them were there. Shabbos v'Yom Kippurim. Shabbos v'Yom Kippurim. Similarly, if you have Shabbos and Yom Kippur, one after the other, which nowadays we don't have that. Yom Kippur in the fixed calendar can never be on Friday or on Sunday. So it can't be before, you can't have a period which is a suffix, whether it's Shabbos or Yom Kippur.
And it cannot be on Shabbos either?
Yom Kippur can be on Shabbos, but if it's on Shabbos and a person does Malacha, then fine, he's over on both Shabbos and Yom Kippur. There's no question about it.
It's not on Friday or on Sunday because it cannot
be. That's the rules of the calendar have it that Yom Kippur can't be on Friday or on Sunday. The Gemara mentions in Rosh Hashanah, Mishum Yaukiyo Mesia. The problem is, if you have Yom Kippur, like Shabbos, you're not allowed to do any malacha, unlike Yom Tov. You're allowed to do food preparation, and you're allowed to bury dead bodies if you need to. So there, at least on the first day of Yom Tov, you can have Goyim do it. On the second day of Yom Tov, you can have Jews do it. Whatever. The point is that if Yom Kippur comes out adjacent to Shabbos, either right before it or right after, vegetables are going to spoil because you can't cook them or do anything with them. Dead bodies are going to spoil because nobody can bury them. So therefore, for that reason, they made the rule that Yom Kippur can't be on Friday or on Sunday. Anyway, but in the times of the Mishnah, it could be. It's actually a machlokas whether they did try to keep this rule of loyadu rosh in those times. But even if they did try to keep it, there could always be exceptions. Anyway, the point is, suppose that Yom Kippur. So let's say Yom Kippur comes out on Friday. So he does malacha bein hashmoshes on Friday going into Shabbos. The any yedeh be'ez man os malacha. So he doesn't know. He doesn't know which one, did he do it during the period which is still Yom Kippur, or did he do it during the part which is already Shabbos? You have a period called Bein HaShmoshes. Now, you have actually, you have a few different definitions of Tanoim, how long Bein HaShmoshes lasts. Is it the whole period from Shkia to Tetzach HaKavim, which within that you have a Machlokas and Shabbos, you have a whole Sogia and Shabbos, you have a Sogia and Sochim, how long after Shkia is Tetzach HaKavim? And by the way, you have...
The period after Shkia that's not Ben HaShmashah?
No, one second. You have like this, there's Shkia, there's Tetzach HaKavim. So you have a number of uncertainties over here. First of all, there's a Machlokas Tanoim, how long after Shkia is Tetzach HaKavim? You have a few different opinions in the Gemara in Shabbos. You have a Gemara in Sochim that gives other figures. How to reconcile them is a whole other question, which is how you come to have the Shitta of the Geonim and then the Alter Rebbe versus the Shitta of Rabbi Netam. That's a whole matter. Then within that, you have the question, is Bein HaShmoshes the entire period from Shkia until Tzeis, or is it only some subset of that? So for example, the Gemara mentions in Shabbos, the Gemara mentions in Shabbos, Rabbi Yossi says that Bein HaShmoshes is keheref ayin, it's like the blink of an eye. So you know, the question is when, it's sometime, there's some moment between Shkia and Seis, which according to Rabbi Yossi is Bein Hashemoshes, but he doesn't define it more. He doesn't define it. The other Tanoim have different opinions how long Bein Hashemoshes is. Really, you don't have it. Really, you have a number of different opinions. A half a mil, two thirds of a mil, whatever. You have a number of different opinions. But anyway, actually, the Alter Rebbe's understanding of Rabbi Yossi actually seems to be a little bit different. According to him, the clarifying could be as much as 2 minutes, but I don't know if that fits so well. I don't know if that explanation fits so well with something that we're going to have later on in the Gemara over here. We'll get there. Anyway, the point is that, so now you have, let's say, so you have a person. Now, the thing you have to realize like this. This that we always say, for example, Shabbos, Yom Tov, and Yom Kippur lasts from Shkia of one day until Pesach, the Chazon of the next. That's only because of the suffix. When does the day begin and when does it end? If we knew, in principle, we have, for example, the famous Rashi on the Pasuk that Hashem finished by Chalal the King by Yom HaShavi. What do you mean Hashem didn't work on the seventh day? It means that Hashem worked up until the actual deadline, because Hashem knows the exact moment, even though we don't. Hashem knows the exact moment when Erev Shabbos ends and Shabbos begins. If we knew that time also, and we knew the same thing when it comes from Shabbos to Mitzvah Shabbos, then Shabbos and Yom Kippur and all the other ones would last exactly 24 hours, or whatever, 24 hours with a few seconds, a few seconds either side of that, because of the sun's motion, whatever. The point is that, but we don't, therefore we have that suffix. But now you have, let's say, for example, Shkia is at 6, and Pesach HaChavim is at 6:30. So suppose he did Malacha at 6:15, and it's a suffix now. Was it 6:15 on Friday afternoon? Was it still part of Yom Kippur because is Yom Kippur lasting until Tzeitzit Chachavim, which is at 6:30, or did Shabbos already begin at 6 and therefore now is already Shabbos? So again, he was definitely over on not neither. They can't have neither.
Why?
Because you can't have. The whole point is you can't have if you're going to have. What you could have, let's say, is Yom Kippur may have ended at 6:15 and Shabbos began at 6:15, but you can't have. There's not going to be any time between them. If Yom Kippur is Friday, it has to last until whatever time Shabbos begins. Which is Shabbos would begin at the same time when you get
saying that after the Shkia, it's not Shabbos.
No, it doesn't work that way.
So one comes into
one, yeah,
the other.
Exactly. So therefore, so he's over on one of them, he doesn't know which one. So what happens in all these cases? Rabbi Yozim, and the Rambam, by the way, mentions in Pirush HaMishnayos why we need three cases, because Chelev was Chelev and Noso, in principle, he himself could find out. With Ishta, Nida, and Achosa, conceivably, he himself might never find out, but they might know, they'll know. And in the case of Shabbos and Yom Kippurim, you can never know because there's no way of knowing it. Anyway, the point is, what happens? Does he have to bring a chatas? Rabbi Eliezer machayev chatas. Rabbi Eliezer says yes, he's chayev chatas because no matter how you look at it, he was over on something that makes him chayev chatas. Rabbi Yeshua, either one or the other. Rabbi Yeshua poter. Rabbi Yeshua says he's poter for reasons that we'll see in the Gemara. Well, the Gemara is going to explain. Rashi brings it over here because the pasuk says that he has to bring the korban for the avera asher chata ba. That he sinned in it, which means it has to be that he knows specifically which Aveira he did. Right, isn't that right? Right. Now, Rabbi Yossi says, actually, they didn't argue about the case where he did Malacha Bein Hashemoshes between Yom Kippur and Shabbos, Shehu Potter. Then, Rabbi Yossi is saying that Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua did not argue about the case of Malacha Bein Hashemoshes between Yom Kippur and Shabbos, Shehu Potter. For sure he would be Potter from a Korban. Then the reason is not because of the question, do we know the Aveira that he did or not? But Rabbi Yossi has a different reason. Shani Omer, because we can very well say, Niktas Osa Hayem and Miktas Osa Lamacher. He may very well have done half the Malacha today and half the Malacha tomorrow. Remember, especially according to Rabbi Yossi, that Bein HaShemoshes Keheref Ayin, that Bein HaShemoshes is like a blink of an eye, then therefore you could easily have that he started the Malacha during the period which is really Yom Kippur. Again, we have the suffix, so we treat that whole period as a suffix. But Rabbi Yossi is saying that actually there's only one moment over there that is there. So therefore, according to him, you could have, therefore, he started the Malacha while it was Yom Kippur and he finished it while it was Shabbos, and therefore there was only half a Malacha on each one. Al-Manechahu so
said. There was one half a Malacha.
Well, you don't, but there could be. Maybe, but the fact is you can't make him bring a chatas for a topic. Alman nechlechu, so what is it that they're arguing about, says Rabbi Yossi. Al-ha'oisim malacha b'soich hayom, suppose a person did malacha in the middle of the day, on the middle of the day on Yom Kippur or in the middle of the day on Shabbos, the any day, the Shabbos also, in the Yom Kippur also, he doesn't know whether the time when he doesn't remember later on whether it was on Shabbos or whether it was on Yom Kippur. Oy al ha'oisa, or another case. Well, that would be the machlokas, Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Shua. Rabbi Eliezer would say it's chayv achatas, because whether he knows that it was on Yom Kippur or whether he knows that it was on Shabbos, either way, it's chayv achatas. The suffix doesn't take him away from that. Rabbi Yeshua would still say it has to be asher chata. They have to know which one he was over on.
It could be the previous one.
Says Rabbi Yossi, because yes, right. Because it could be that half the malacha was done in one and half. But then, or another case could be, you could have another possibility. Let's say a person did a malacha and he knows what day it was. He doesn't know which type of malacha he did. So he did something and he doesn't remember. He doesn't know now whether what he did was it whether he was over on the malacha of plowing or the malacha of planting. Same thing, says Rabbi Yossi. That would be the case where Rabbi Eliezer would make him chayav achatas, because one way or the other, he was over on Shabbos, or he was over on Yom Kippur, as the case may be. And Rabbi Yeshua would say he's positive, because he doesn't know exactly what he did. Okay.
So either day or
the Malacha. Right? Okay. Then Rabbi Eliezer, chayav achatas, Rabbi Yeshua poitah. Then Rabbi Eliezer is going to make him bring a chatas, and Rabbi Yeshua is going to say he doesn't have to. So Rabbi Yehuda says, in that connection, you should know, Rabbi Yeshua would actually say, not only he's potter from a chatas, but he's even potter from an oshem toli.
Rabbi Yehuda said that.
Yeah, that would potter him from an oshem toli. Even from an oshem toli. Now, well, we're going to see in the Gemara that actually Rabbi Yehuda is referring to something that's not here in the Mishnah, which is implied in the Mishnah, and we're going to deal with it. We're going to find it in the Gemara. Rav Shimon and Rav Shimon Shazuri. I remember Rav Shimon, which is Rav Shimon Ben Yochai, and Rav Shimon Shazuri say, Loi nechleku, another understanding of Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua's machlokes, Loi nechleku al davar shu m'shem echad, shu chayev. There is no argument if the two actions were m'shem echad, from one name, shu chayev, then for sure he'd be chayev. Meaning, so now Rashi understands Mishem Echad not to mean two different malachas or whatever. Rashi explains, for example, let's say he had two apple trees in front of him and he picked an apple from one of them and he's not sure which one he picked from. Then for that would be Shem Echad because they're both apple trees. Al ma nechleku, what would be the machloek, the state of Shimon, Rav Shimon Shazuri, al davashu mishum beiz shemes. When you have two different names, meaning, even we're talking the same malacha, it's still the malacha of picking either way, but there was an apple tree and a pear tree, and he picked from one of them, and he isn't there. No, we didn't have that case. No, that was a different case. We had where he cut a fruit and he cut a branch at the same time. That's another matter. That's a different. There's two malachas involved. So here, there's one malacha, but he doesn't know which tree he picked from. So then, that would be the machlok, the state of Shimon, and Shimon Shazuri should have alayaz machayev chatas Rabbi Yeshua pointer. There, Rabbi Eliezer would be machayev chatas, Rabbi Yeshua would say not. But if it was two different malachas, So I'll double shum beis shemus, right? So if there's two shemus, now, Rashi explains that actually shnei shemus could be not just that there were two trees, but there's also, it could be, for example, the difference of malachas. So then, So when it's mishum shnei shemus, which could be when there's any kind of distinction between the two of them, whether it's a distinction of trees, whether it's a distinction of malachas, then Rabbi Eliezer Machayev Chatos Rabbi Shua Poitah. So they would say that if we're talking about only if we had in front of us, let's say, two apple trees, and he picked from one of them, and we're not sure which one, only then would we say that he's chayev according to everybody. Because the fact is, he knows what malacha he did, and he knows that the malacha involved picking apples. He just doesn't know from which tree. The Rambam actually has a bit of a different understanding of Meshay Mechad, Meshnei Shemus. He doesn't mention anything about trees. He says it would just be different malachas. So they would say if it was two of the same malacha, he'd be chayev. If it was different malachas, yeah. Okay. Amar Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says on this, afilu niskavim lo kateinim v'lichet anavim, that even if he intended to harvest to pick figs, v'lichet anavim, and instead accidentally he picked grapes, or anavim v'lichet te'enim, where he meant to pick grapes, and instead he picked figs, or shchurit v'lichet levonis v'lichet shchurit, he meant to pick black figs, and instead he picked white ones, or vice versa, even then, Rabbi Eliezer Machayev Chatos for Rabbi Yeshua Poitah. Now, on the face of it, it doesn't sound like he's saying that much different than Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Shimon Shazuri. So the Gemara is going to explain what their actual machloikas is.
It is different.
It is. It seems to be. Otherwise, what's he adding? They said that if it's Mishneh Shemus, then you have the Machlokas, and Rabbi Yehuda is saying the same thing. If it's two different species or two different colors or whatever. So we'll see in the Gemara what their Machlokas is. Amar Rav Shimon, Tmihani Im Potter Bar Rav Yeshua. So Rav Shimon says, I'm very surprised if Rav Shimon would potter him in such a case. Why would Rav Shimon potter him? The fact is, he meant to do something that's also. And the answer is, the answer is, in that case, that you actually have different gersos over here. Rashi does not have Amar Rav Shimon. He says that it's Rav Yehuda continuing and saying, I know I said that Rabbi Eliezer is pastoring him in that case, but why would he be pastoring him in that case? After all, he intended to do an Easter. And the answer is, in that case, if Rabbi Yehuda himself holds that he ought to be chayiv in that case, but in that case, why does the Mishnah say it? Why does the Pasuk say Ashachotaba, which implies that he has to know exactly what he did? It means prat l'mis asik. We would say that means as opposed to if he was misasik the heter, meaning if he was just playing around, not playing around, whatever, he was acting, intending to do something of heter. For example, he intended to cut a fruit that was already off the tree, which you were allowed to do on Shabbos. And instead, by mistake, he cut the one that was kind of fruit. He had the fruit already off the tree. Yeah, he wants to cut it in half. For example, let's say you have an apple with a stem on it, and he wants to cut off the stem.
You can do that.
Yeah, you can do that. But then accidentally, he cut an apple that was still attached to the tree. So that's when we would say he's potter. But if he was misafik, the iser, Rabbi Yehuda is arguing that he should be chayev, because no matter what, he was trying to do something of iser. The fact that mistakenly he cut one fruit instead of another shouldn't potter him.
Right, exactly.
So therefore he's saying, I'm surprised. Why would Rabbi Yeshua say he's potter? Mm-hmm. Again, you have the Girsa over here with Omer Rav Shimon. Is the Rambam's Girsa that, okay, Rav Shimon is saying, why would you, Rabbi Yehuda, be saying that Rabbi Yeshua would potter? I say that the words, Asher Chotabah, don't cover that case. They only cover Misasim. Okay. Asher Chotabah means that he has to know exactly what he did. So that means, in other words, if he didn't intend to do an Isser at all, then you can pastor him, even if he ended up doing it. Misasik means like playing around, sort of. It means like he did it without he wasn't intending to do an Isser. Let's put it that way. He wasn't intending to do an Isser, and accidentally he did an Isser in the course of trying to do something else. As opposed to here, he was trying to do an Isser. He was trying to harvest grapes, and instead he harvested figs, or vice versa. Why Rabbi Shimon or Rabbi Yehuda says, why should he be potter in that case? When he's misasik the heter, then he should be potter. When he's misasik the Isser, they're arguing, why should he be potter? So the Gemara starts off, Tanya, Amar Rabbi Eliezer, Monafsha. So Rabbi Eliezer says, either way, you look at it, the man has to be chayiv and a korban. In all the cases of our Mishnah, chayiv and noiser, and so on and so forth. E chayiv ocho chayiv, e noiser ocho chayiv. If he ate chayiv, he'd be chayiv achatas. If he ate noiser, he'd be chayiv achatas. E ishte nida bar chayiv, e achoyte bar chayiv. E the Shabbos osam alacha chayiv, e b'yam kapurim osam alacha chayiv. So why would anybody say, says...
So he didn't know.
The point is that if one was Ishtar Nidah, the other one is Achoysai. Rabbi Eliezer argues, who cares? And if it was Ishtar Nidah, he's Chayav Achatas. If it was Achoysai, he's Chayav Achatas. So why should he be potter just because he doesn't know which one it was? Amar Lo Rabbi Yeshua, but Rabbi Yeshua says to Rabbi Eliezer, no, because Harehu Omer, after all, the Pasuk says, Asher Chotaba, that he sinned in it. Which means, and then he brings his carbon, he has to actually know what was the specific aveda that he did, and he doesn't know. He has to know whether it was a choyser, or whether it was his thing.
You don't know that it could be either one.
Right. Okay.
If it's either one, then it's going to be the other.
Right. And the point is, in particular, because it says, asher chota boh. Boh means in it. So only in the one. Right. So the question is, Rabbi Eliezer, hi, boh my obidle. Okay, what does Rabbi Eliezer, what does Rabbi Eliezer do with that? The answer is Mibole Prat la Misasik. Rabbi Eliezer would say the word ba comes to teach us to pastor him from the case of Misasik. This is the case that we just mentioned. Nothing has to know which particular one it was. But if he was Misasik, if he was intending to cut the stem off of fruit that was already detached from the tree, and he accidentally cut one that was already attached to the tree, then he would be pastor. As opposed to Rabbi Yeshua. Rashi mentions over here, now we're going to say soon in the Sugya, we're going to mention soon that there's a different reason to say that he'd be potter, because Melechas Machsheves Osra Torah. So the Torah only answers Machsheves, the Torah only answers on Shabbos when a person does Melacha with intention, and here there was no intention to do Melacha. So Rashi says Rabbi Eliezer would actually disagree with that. Rabbi Eliezer would not learn it from Melechas Machsheves, so therefore he has to use the word Vos for it. Okay. Tosfos actually disagrees with that. Tosfos has a different understanding of why we say Tosfos says there's a different reason why we would say that Rabbi Eliezer needs the word Vos for the case of for the case of Misafik, because Tosfos discusses there can be a difference between whether we're talking about the actual object that he intended to do with versus a different object. Like there can be, there was a particular object that he intended to cut, which itself turned out to still be attached to the tree, versus where there were two of them in front of him, and he meant to cut one and cut the other. Okay. So the question is misafik demai. Which case of misafik are we saying that he would be potter? We have different kinds of cases. We have at the beginning of the Masechta, right? We have 36 cases of Chiyuv Karis. So which kind of Aveira are we talking about where if he's Masechta, he would be Potter?
So we're talking about the whole Masechta, not the Mishnah?
We said in the Mishnah that Masechta is Potter. We're saying even Rabbi Eliezer agrees to that. Right. So let's define what is the case where we need that Potter, where we need the Potter to tell us that Masechta is Potter. Eid Chalovim Va'arayis, if we're talking about that, he was misastic as far as chaylev,
right.
Meaning, in other words, let's say, Rashi says, what would be misastic by chaylev? Let's say he has chaylev and shuman in front of him. He knows which one is which, unlike the previous cases where he didn't know. Here he knows which one is which, so he intended to pick up the shuman and eat it. Meanwhile, though, he got distracted. He was looking someplace else, and then he put out his hand, and accidentally he picked up the chaylev and ate it. So that's misastic. Another example, Rashi says, would be, let's say, everything in front of him is chaylev, but he thought they're both shuman. He intended to eat one, and he accidentally ate the other one. Shogeg, Rashi says, would be he intended to eat this actual piece, but he thought that it was shuman. Here, where he intended to eat one piece and accidentally ate the other one, then that would be misasik, and then he would still be chayev. And same thing by Arias. The same thing misasik by Arias. For example, what would be misasik by Arias? Rashi gives the example. Let's say that one example, Rashi's first example is that he intended to have relations with his wife while she was nidah, thinking that she's actually tahor.
Right.
A second example, Shitamuk Rebbe says, I don't understand why that would be the case, but okay. Rashi gives a second example. Let's say, so you have his wife and his sister are in the house. He intended to have relations with his wife, and his wife moved away, and by mistake, his sister was lying there instead. So therefore, again, he intended to one and instead did the other. The point, that would be misafik, and when it comes to chaylev and arayis, it would still be chayev, even though he didn't have the full intention. The reason is, the Amar of Nachman, Amar Shmuel, the reason is that Rav Nachman says in the name of Shmuel, ha-misafik v'chalov v'arayis chayev, shekein nen. The reason is, a person, even if he's misafik, but he ended up being over on chaylev or on arayis, then he's chayev, because he had hana.
That's Shmuel.
That's fine. Nobody disagrees with Shmuel on that.
Nobody's
agreeing with Shmuel. So therefore, yeah, the fact that he had Hana is enough to be Mechayev. So you can't say, therefore, that's the case where Misafik would be Potter. The Misafik v'Shabbos, are you talking about that he was Misafik when it comes to a Malacha of Shabbos? So he intended, like we said before, he intended to cut one fruit, and instead he cut a different one, or he intended to cut this one, thinking that it was detached, and it turned out to be attached. Well, then actually Potter, he would actually be Potter anyway. Not on the grounds of the Potter's Bach, but my time in Melechus Machsheves, also a Torah. Because we learn that the Torah only asks Melechus Machsheves. Malacha on Shabbos has to be similar to the Malachas of the Mishkan. The Malachas of the Mishkan were purposeful Malachas. They were doing it knowing what they're planning to do. So the Shabbos has to be the same kind of thing. So what is the case where we have a case of Misasik where he is Potter?
What happens?
Well, that's the question. The question is, why do we need a separate Potter to tell us that Misasik is Potter if we already know it's from Malachas Machsheves, and it can't be Chalavim and Arayis because then he is actually Chayev?
So what is it?
The answer is, we can find it according to both Abaya and Rava's opinions. La Abaya, now we're going to have soon in a couple of lines, Machlokas Abaya and Rava about such a case. La Abaya Mashkachaslo, you can find a case according to Abaya where he's misafik, and we have to say that he's got, sorry, La Rava Mashkachaslo, you mentioned it's Gavin, Rava would say you have a case where he intended to cut something that was already detached from the ground, and by mistake he cut something that was attached. So he did intend to do Miskavin Lachtachas HaMechobar, Tolosh V'chotachas HaMechobar. So therefore, so you can have that's Misafik, and we're still saying that he's Potter. It was still saying that he's Potter, because Misafik is Potter. According to Abaye, you can have a case where he intended to pick up a fruit that was already detached, and accidentally picked up a fruit that was attached, and they were by detached. And what is this machlok? This is man. We have a machlok. It's Abaye and Rob. Niskaven lahagbiya as a tolush. If the person intended to pick up a fruit that was already detached, v'chosachas amachomer, and accidentally instead he cut a fruit that was attached, then for sure potter, because they call make time. Why would he be potter? To hold a kaven l'shum chaticha, because he had no intention to do any cutting at all.
So both.
Every both Abaye and Rob would agree with that. He had no intention to cut at all. He intended to pick up.
Right.
On the other hand, but if he intended to cut a detached fruit and accidentally cut the attached one and thereby did a malacha, Abaye or Machayev, Abaye would say that's not considered nefastic. He would actually be chayev because because he intended to do something ulcer, because he intended to do cutting. Well, cutting itself is not ulcer. If it was a tolush, it's not ulcer, but he intended to do an action of cutting, and the fact is he did an action of cutting. Therefore, that's enough to be mechayev. It's enough for it to be considered malachas machshavas. Rava amach potter, drahalai kama, machatichan isur. Rava would say he's potter, because he didn't intend to do a cutting that is also. He intended to do a cutting that's mutter. So Rava would say, therefore, that that's the case in the Sasek. Abaye would say that's not, but if he intended to pick it up and accidentally cut it, that would be the case in the Sasek that was saying is potter. You don't see the difference. One is he intended to cut, and the other one is he didn't intend to cut.
But you said cutting is not forbidden.
That's fine. Abaye says we don't care about the forbiddenness or the permittedness of the cutting. We care about did he intend to cut or did he not intend to cut. He intended to cut, and he ended up cutting something which is also. Abaye says that's enough to be mechayev.
So intending to do something that could have gone wrong makes him higher.
Basically, I guess you could say that. Fine. Whereas according to Rabbi, it has to be that he intended a chaticha that's also.
And Rava
says after something that itself was also. So then, yeah.
That's
no, right. So only then, right. Only then would
be. You have to do something that could have been us or not.
Right.
And that makes him higher.
Right. Okay. Tosva says in that case, I mean, if you're going to go like that, then how do you ever have a shogig in the Torah? Of course, never entirely. Yeah. So Tosva says, okay, the difference is that usually shogig, you could say, oimer mutter. He thinks that the action is actually mutter. Here he's trying to do something which is definitely mutter. He's definitely cutting a tolush is mutter. So he intended to do something that's mutter, and the question is, he ended up doing something that's also, do we patter him on the grounds of misasik or not?
Okay.
The halacha is like Rava.
That's
patter. We said in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yosi Omer lo nechlok uchol, we had Rabbi Yosi's understanding of the machlokas, Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua, that they're not arguing about where we did malacha bein hashmoshes, because bein hashmoshes, conceivably, you could have had some of the malacha was done during Yom Kippur and the next part of it during Shabbos. So, Tanya, we learn in a braisa, Omer lahen Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yosi says to the Chachamim, dikdaktem acharai, you have been precise in looking for an answer to contradict me. So, on the face of it, he's complimenting them. Look at that. You got me. It sounds like Rashi says, Kolomin, it's Achtuni, but keep Achtuni. It sounds like he's saying, you beat me. You disproved me. So, my amule, now what did they say? The amule was dakamak, right? What was the previous part that's not recorded in the Mishnah that they said? We're going to find out. The answer is, Hachi amule. They said to him like this. Fine, we can understand most malachas take a certain amount of time. So therefore, yes, conceivably he might have started it while it's Yom Kippur and finished it while it's Shabbos. But what about he be a Bein HaShemoshes Mahu? What about if he picked up something Bein HaShemoshes to take it outside? As soon as he picks it up, now you can have a case, Rashi says, where you pick up something and immediately it's a Hitzah. So, for example, you have a person that's standing in Rosh Hashanah, there's something in Rosh Hashanah right next to Rosh Hashanah, and he picks it up to bring it to himself. So
from
Rosh Hashanah. So it's a fraction of a second to do that, to take it from one Rosh Hashanah to another. What about over there?
In Rosh Hashanah, by the way, you can carry?
No, you can carry. No, but technically you can carry less than 4 amas for one time, but whatever, that's not the point. You can't carry from one Rosh Hashanah to another. Okay, let's keep to the topic. So the point is, in other words, so they're saying, if he picked it up and thereby did a malacha all in one tiny fraction of a second, mahu, then what are you going to say? You obviously can't have that he did part of it during one day and part the other. So he says to them, look at that, you beat me, you found an answer. So the question is why? The same way, you can divide the time more finely. Part of the Akbar took place during Yom Kippur, and the other part took place, the actual transfer across the Rishos boundary took place during the other.
Well, that's because Yom Kippur was next to Shabbos.
Well, that's what we're talking about.
But if it had been Shabbos and nothing afterwards.
No, we're not talking about that. We're talking about it would be a case of Hashem Tolle. We're not getting into that.
Right.
We're talking about over here the case of our Mishnah, where he's definitely over on something. Okay, so according to Rabbi Yossi, he could say, what do you mean, Dr. Macharai? What do you mean, you got me? You could say the same thing. The Hagbah could be divided, and conceivably one part of it was before Bein HaShemashos and the other one was after. That's the question. Why is he saying this? Dr. Machra, you can always divide time finer and finer. So therefore, you can always have that. You can always have. I mean, the time it takes to pick it up and take it from one resource to another is a finite but small amount. It's a small amount of time, but it's still still an amount of time. It still could be divided, and part of it conceivably could have been. The answer is Hachinami Kamalu. Yeah, you're right. That's actually what Rabbi Yossi is telling them. He's not telling them you got me. He's saying Diktakemach, right? You have tried to be precise and tried to find a case like that where you think you definitely got me. But actually, what you asked against me is still not anything. It still doesn't refute me because I can still divide the time finer and finer. Okay. So the question is, are you telling me Rabbi Yossi would say, fine, let's say it happened. Let's say he did part of the malacha during Yom Kippur and the rest of it during Shabbos. Fine, but we're talking about the opinions of Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua over there. Would Rabbi Yossi say that if a person finished the malacha on Shabbos or on Yom Kippur, he'd be potter? Hashmina leidu mechayev. We find in Masechta Shabbos that Rabbi Eliezer says, Rabbi Eliezer doesn't specifically address the case of beginning on one day and finishing on another, but the point is Rabbi Eliezer does say that if you have a malacha that was already partially done and he finishes it, then the finishing of it is enough to be mechayev him, even though the rest of it was done at some time before. One second. Ditznan, as we learned in a Mishnah, we learned this the other day, Rabbi Eliezer says as far as the malacha of weaving, when it comes to the beginning of the weaving, a person is chayev only if he did three rows on the weave, the echad ala arig, but if there was already a woven cloth there, a partially woven cloth, and he wove one more row on it, chayev, then he'd be chayev. So Rabbi Eliezer is saying, you have this woven cloth that was woven already, let's say, from Friday. Now on Shabbos, he added one more row to it. That's enough to be mechayev him, even though usually you need two rows. So therefore, we see a coincidence of Rabbi Eliezer. You don't even need to have a complete malacha done on Shabbos. It's enough to have a partial malacha, finishing or continuing a malacha that was done sometime before to be mechayev him. So what do you mean, Rabbi Yossi saying that if he started picking it up while it was Yom Kippur and finished transferring it after Shabbos, then Rabbi Eliezer would Rabbi Eliezer would say he's potter. According to this, Rabbi Eliezer would still say he's chayev. The answer is Amar Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yosef alibed Rabbi Eliezer hachi masni. Actually, Rabbi Yosef's version of what Rabbi Eliezer says is a little bit different. He says Rabbi Eliezer Amar ha'orig shloisha chotin batchila u'shnayim ala orig chayev. He would say that Rabbi Eliezer is saying that you have to have three at the beginning, you have to have two on the existing weave in order to confirm to be mechayev on Shabbos. So according to Rabbi Yosef's understanding of Rabbi Eliezer, three at the beginning, according to Rabbi Eliezer. The halacha is not like Rabbi Eliezer. The halacha is you always need two. But according to Rabbi Eliezer, when you start it, you need three. And Rabbi Yossi would say that when is Rabbi Eliezer mechayev him? If he was continuing the weave, it has to be only if there were two. One would not be enough because one is not a complete malacha. So we see Rabbi Yossi would actually say that no. Rabbi Eliezer would say only if a complete malacha was done on Shabbos, namely two rows being a complete malacha. Doesn't matter how many were present. According to Rabbi Eliezer, if he continues weaving on Shabbos, then he's chayev. How much does he have to continue weaving? The standard version of the Mishnah says one is enough. Now, one is not really the chiyuv of Oreg, because for Oreg you need two. But Rabbi Yossi's version would say that you need two, meaning according to Rabbi Eliezer, even though there was already a partial malacha, a partial woven cloth done before Shabbos, there needs to be two rows done on it in order to be mechayev him if he did it around Shabbos. So he needs to do something that by itself would be a complete malacha on Shabbos. That's Rabbi Yossi's version. Well, by the same token, so if he does part of the Haitzah on Yom Kippur and the other part on Shabbos, then Rabbi Eliezer can't be Mechayev him. It's the same way as he requires two rows, the same way he would require a complete the same day, the same way he would require a Haitzah and Achnasa on the same day. And Rabbi Yossi is saying, you can't necessarily know that because Bein HaShemosh is Teheref Ayin, you can easily have that part of it was before it and part of it was after it.
That's why he
says. And that's why he says they're possible.
Okay.
Fine.
Tomorrow?